I'll fly away, and he took the knob off. So you remind me of days like that. Let me kind of get us started this morning by asking a simple question, and we'll look for an answer. And if you have your pencil with you and paper, or you want to look on the back of the outline there, this is where we'll start. I would like for you to define for me the term or the concept of a shepherd. Who is a shepherd? What is a shepherd? And I'll give you one simple answer. A shepherd is anyone who oversees or manages or takes care of a flock. A shepherd takes care of a flock. And a flock could be anywhere from 10, 20, 100, or 1,000 or thousands of people. Someone who is in charge of a flock. And as simple as that is, Scripture tells us that churches, the body of Christ, has a shepherd. Unfortunately, sometimes shepherds function only in name and not in actually what a shepherd is to do. In reality, many times some shepherds will just leave the flock to tend for themselves, and you know what happens when that occurs. The flock scatters. So, to counter that sort of thing ever happening to us, we want to today to be sure in our hearts and minds just what a true shepherd is. What is a shepherd? If you had to go and find a shepherd, and one day I know you will, as a church, be looking for a 20, 30, 40-year shepherd somewhere. Well, who are you looking for? What are you looking for? Well, I want to give you the first little clue, and that is shepherds smell like sheep. Shepherds smell like sheep. That is, they know their sheep so well that, and they're with them so often that they know them by name. I even knew of one, I know of one pastor, one shepherd in the church, had about 10,000 members, and he was known for the fact that if you stood at the church door of that church, that shepherd would call you by name, every one of them. Now, I'm not quite as good as that. But I think that's the kind of thing that you have. Shepherds smell like sheep. They nurture the young. They care for the weak. They protect everyone. A shepherd just smells like sheep. And so you might ask any pastor, do you smell like sheep? Any pastor should ask himself, do I smell like sheep? And we want to talk this morning, look at God's Word for a few moments here. And look for the signs or the characteristics of a shepherd. What is a shepherd? What are they like? It's interesting that our Heavenly Father, in describing how the body of Christ, the church, would be, described it as a body of believers and people brought together who are under the care of a shepherd of all people. Let me read for you from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, Luke writes here, and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Those two Bible words there, episkopos, the overseer, The pastor of a church, the shepherd of a church, is you could call him an overseer, an episkopos, or you could call him a poimenos, which means pastor or shepherd. But he is to be the shepherd of the flock. Notice that when God chose the description for a church, that he did not say that the shepherd would, that the pastor of the church would be a CEO or a chairman of the board. And certainly not a sheriff, and he's not a hired hand, and he's surely not a cowboy. He's a shepherd. And if you should drop the shepherd model for the church and the leader of the church, the pastor of the church, and say, well, we want a pastor who is a director or one of these other things, you're going to have to tear 500 pages out of your Bible, literally, because there are at least 500 different times where the shepherd description or concept is described for us with regard to God's people. So The whole idea that we're talking about here then is we look for the signs and the characteristics of a shepherd or pastor of a church is that we have someone who is a pastor, and the first thing is they smell like sheep. Now, you say, well, how many sheep can a single shepherd take care of? I've had differing opinions given there. I would simply say as many as he can, as he is personally ideally suited to care for. That means the number of people that he can know intimately and personally. I understand that when shepherds do have a flock, they usually know them so well they know each one by name. Usually they give them kind of nicknames, old torn ear, old tired eye, and old fence crawler, and I won't tell you what I call you, but but they know you, and they know you. They know each one of you. And when lambs are born in a flock, a good shepherd is oftentimes the very first voice that little lamb is going to hear, because the shepherd will come alongside of the newborn lamb and pick it up, and he will take it and place it next to its mother, and the first voice that lamb and sheep hears is the voice of the shepherd, because he's there. He cares for them. When they're too young to keep up with the flock, he picks it up. He carries it in his cloak or on his shoulders. In other words, a shepherd smells like sheep. He's with them all the time. Now, what does a shepherd do when the church or the members of his flock become too numerous and he cannot be there for all of their needs and meet them when they have a special care, when they're hurt? Well, he finds other shepherds to assist him and help him. He finds others who can help him care for them. I'll give you a good illustration that will sort of apply to right here where we are at Big Spring. You have about 15 to 20 young people, teenagers. And then you have over 100 other folks in the church, and it's getting harder and harder for a single shepherd to be right there when each one has a need, to carry them, to care for them, to call them, to bring them back when they stray, and all those things. And we've already recognized our pastor shepherd needs a helper, and that's what we're doing now. We're looking out to find that shepherd helper who's going to be with us, who's going to assist in that ministry. You say, well, we can do it right now. Well, that's the problem. If you get to that point where you're at the limits of what one shepherd can do, you're never going to get any farther along until you get help. You've got to continue to do that. And well, there's no magic number for that, but that's what happens there. You may remember on an occasion when Moses was out in the wilderness with probably close to a three-quarters to a million people, and his father-in-law came along and saw Moses trying to take care of all those people. He said, Moses, you're going to kill yourself. You can't do this. I'm giving you the Phillips translation of Exodus, you know. But he says, Moses, you need people who be rulers over 10, rulers over 50, rulers over 100, rulers over 1,000. In other words, you need help, Moses. You can't do this by yourself. And so Moses got on board real quickly and became a faithful shepherd for God's people. And he had people who helped him all the way down until there was just even 10 people. You may be a teacher and have 20, 30 people in your classroom. You say, I can't keep up with all those people. Of course not. You need helpers. You need group leaders who will take care of 5, or group leaders who take care of 10, and they respond to you, and you work together, and that's how your class becomes not 20, but 30, 40, 50. You see how it works? I mean, this is the way that God designed his church to be, and they would have a shepherd. And being a shepherd is consuming. It takes time, and the prophet Isaiah penned a less familiar description of the shepherd in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah 40:11. Here the prophet says, he tends, and he's speaking, he's giving a picture of our Heavenly Father. And this is really impressive here. This is an awesome thought. Children sometimes ask, well, what is God like? What is God like? Listen to Isaiah's description of God. He describes God, our Heavenly Father and Creator, as the great shepherd. And he says he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. What a great picture of God. I mean, what a model for us to follow. And look at what he says here. If you break that down, where he says he gathers the lambs in his arms, shepherds touch their sheep. You can't gather them into your arms unless you reach out and touch them. If you want to be a shepherd or a shepherd's helper, you've got to be willing to reach out and touch people where they are and gather them in. And if you can no longer do that, there are too many of them for you to do that, you need to get some help, get some helpers who are going to help you do that. So church pastors and leaders and teachers can never reach a point where they no longer smell like sheep because they care for them. They reach out and touch one another and care for each other. Look at the next statement he says there in that Isaiah 40:11. He says, the shepherd carries them. God carries them close to his heart. Now, if you're a wannabe shepherd, there are a lot of wannabe shepherds, folks out there who say, I want to be a shepherd. I think I would like to be a shepherd. But when you think about it, it's a little demeaning to you to want to carry people. I mean, when they have problems and troubles, when they get off and you haven't seen them for a week or two, you say, well, they know their way to church. They can find their way back. Well, you'd forget about being a shepherd because shepherds carry them. They carry them close to their heart. They call the people. They write them an encouraging note. They visit them. They bring them back to the fold. And true shepherds spend a lot of time caring for the flock. That's what a shepherd is all about. Shepherds tend to the needs of their flock. He says there, he gently leads those that have young. Now, that's interesting. Shepherds lead their flock. That means they're out in front of them. They're not cowboys. Where do cowboys work from? Behind the flock. They drive them. Shepherds lead the flock. Cowboys drive the flock. Shepherds call the flock. Cowboys yell at the flock. Shepherds have their staff to reach out and pull their flock along. Cowboys have boots and spurs, and they drive them. There's a difference. God didn't call shepherds to be cowboys. He called them to tend their sheep and lead their sheep along. And shepherds, true shepherds, don't coerce their flock and force them. They lead them along, and the sheep follow them. And when the sheep see, we'll talk about sheep later on in another message about sheep like to follow, and when they want to go somewhere, they like to see the shepherd out in front of them. They follow that shepherd, and the shepherd leads them along. So this is the way God works in our lives. He leads us, and we follow him. Shepherds are often described in Scripture as supplying their flocks. They supply the needs of their sheep. One of my favorite passages of Scripture for me is Psalm 23 and verse 1. Maybe you remember that. The Lord is my shepherd. You remember that one? That's an interesting psalm there. Actually, the whole 23rd psalm divides into two parts. The first three verses talk about the shepherds, and the last three verses talk about the sheep. So when you come back to the shepherds here, the first thing you discover about the shepherd is that he supplies the needs of his flock. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's going to provide for my needs. He leads me in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. There's another thought there. Green pastures don't just happen, especially in dry seasons and dry places. Shepherds really have to study carefully, and they have to look at their pastures and know where they are and where the flock will find its needs met, where they'll find green grass, where they'll find water. A good shepherd puts a lot of time and study and thought into the needs of the flock, and he clears out any stony unbelief that might be there or any problems that may be confronting the flock. He uproots or exposes the roots of bitterness and breaks up the hard ground of human pride, sows the seed of the precious truth of God, and the flock finds food and shelter and hope and encouragement. Shepherds bring joy to their sheep. Joy. I'm reading here from Psalm 23, verse 3. It says, "He restores my soul." Brings joy to us. The life of a sheep, and that's an interesting thought too, you know, that God thinks of us, describes us, says, you know, as His people, we are like sheep. You can identify with this, I think, and I can too. You know, the life of a sheep is not easy. If you think the life of a sheep is easy, you don't understand. Sheep, of all of God's creatures, have little or no defense against flying or crawling insects. They don't know what to do when insects get on them. There's a beautiful scene that you occasionally will run into in Israel, for instance. Sometimes shepherds, you'll see them leading their flocks down to the Dead Sea, which you know is full of salt and sulfur and a lot of other chemicals there, things that kill insects. And they will take their flocks out into the Dead Sea so that the waters of the Dead Sea will sanitize their sheep and kill all those predators that are on them. Sheep don't have the defense to deal with that. Sheep have no they have no defense against predators that come against them. Do you know that sheep actually don't even know how to protect themselves against overeating? See how we're like sheep a lot, you know? A lot of times we don't. In fact, here's an interesting thing about sheep. I've kind of studied up on this, you know. I'm a farm boy, but I didn't raise sheep. But I've read all of Philip Keller's books about sheep and shepherds and learned a lot about them. I understand sometimes sheep will get into a green pasture. They'll eat a lot of grass. And if the sheep are healthy and they got a big coat of wool and they eat a little bit too much and they get kind of overfed, they're not very athletic, and if they stumble and fall into kind of a gully or a ditch or a low place in the ground, they roll over on their side, and if they roll over on their back and their feet get up in the air, they don't know how to get back up on their feet again. They're so heavy, the wool, they get top heavy, and the wool holds them down, and their feet are flying in the air. Now, here's where the problem comes. All that grass they've eaten creates gas. If you don't get rid of that real quickly, sheep will die. And so the shepherd knows this, and they call that when a sheep is cast. And if they find a sheep that has been cast, the shepherd comes along, helps get him back on his feet again, and the shepherd knows what to do to keep that from happening again. He gets out his shears and he cuts off all that old wool, and the sheep's a little too heavy. He puts him on a kind of a diet to get him healthy again. The shepherd knows how to deal with that. So the shepherd supplies the needs of his sheep, and he brings joy to the sheep. And there's a real parallel to the Christian life, like our circumstances, because sometimes we get satisfied and we're getting fed and we got 3 square meals, and every Sunday we got special music and good times, and we don't we're just happy and we don't want to go, we don't want to do anything else. And we get, then when we get weighed down by the world and cares come along, we get cast sometimes. And the shepherd has to know how to get us up and get us moving again. You see, God is our shepherd. He knows sometimes we can't always just rest in the blessings of the Lord and the green pastures. Sometimes things have to be stirred up some. And God does that. He gets us back on our feet again, gets us moving. He takes whatever steps are necessary to restore our soul. Here's another. Shepherds protect their sheep. They protect them. You take a look at that shepherd up there. Looks pretty tough, doesn't he? I've seen shepherds before. I've seen that curved scabbard in their belt. I even saw a 45 on the belt of another shepherd somewhere. Now, those fellows, they're there to protect their sheep. Scripture says Jesus described himself in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Most sheep live their lives out in open fields. They're predators. They're challenged with floods when rains come, falling rocks, poisonous weeds, predators, the elements, all of these things. They struggle with pests and injuries and disease and being cast down. They're sheep rustlers who come along and try to steal the sheep and take them over to another flock. But whenever that happens, the sheep aren't afraid, for the shepherd is with them, and the shepherd protects them. When they walk through a dark valley, the shepherd says, "I've been here before. It's all right." When they face some trials or difficulties, the shepherd said, "That's all right. Our needs are provided by the great shepherd." And when the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you are blessed. For you're not only guided and protected by the Lord's shepherds, but you're provided for and protected by the great shepherd. And that's why he says, even though we walk through the very valley of the shadow of death, we'll not fear any evil. For his rod and his staff, they are with us to comfort us. Shepherds lead their sheep. Of all the creatures that we have domesticated, sheep are the most dependent, handicapped by need. They require more attention than any other class of animal. And care of sheep takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. Anyone who's going to be a shepherd has to be willing to provide that time and that kind of care. There, you know, in the Holy Lands or the Bible lands today, there are a lot of evidences of shepherds. You see them in every part of the land. I was related to a story told by one of the tour guides who leads groups of people through the Bible lands. He was explaining all of the things I've just explained to you about shepherds and how tender and caring and loving they are, and how they look after their flocks, and then all of a sudden, as he was doing this on the tour bus, he realized he'd lost the attention of his tour group. They were all staring out the window on one side of the bus at something, and he turned to look and see, and he saw what they did. There was a man out in a field there, and he had some sheep. And he had a stick, and he was chasing them, and he was yelling at them, throwing rocks at them. And the tour guide was so disturbed, he had the driver to stop and got off the bus, ran out there to this guy, and he said to him, "What are you doing? I was just telling these people how shepherds care for their sheep, and they take care of them. And you, here I look out here, and you're yelling at them, and you're chasing them, and what are you doing?" And the man looked at him and he says, "I'm not a shepherd, I'm a butcher." Well, pastors and volunteers and workers in churches who drive their fellow members to act in a pattern other than what God has designed in His Word are not to be confused with shepherds. In fact, they're sheep drivers, and like those in the first century, Jesus had a word for them. I'm reading from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Jesus said, "A hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and he flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and he scatters them, and the hireling flees because he's a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep." Modern hirelings abandon their sheep when things get rough to save themselves. If their sheep stay in or get into the flock, they have to do it for themselves because he's not there. They don't go looking for the missing sheep. Their interest is in how the sheep will benefit them, not how they will benefit the flock. And so when we look for a shepherd, we look for one who truly loves the sheep, smells like sheep. Ultimately, he saves his sheep. I'm reading from all the apostles use the same thing. The apostle Paul in Romans 8, 38 and 39, he says, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the Lord, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter what happens to the sheep who have a faithful shepherd and who are under the care of the great shepherd, we're always confident that no matter what comes, he's going to lead us through and make us the people we ought to be. Does that mean then that if you have a shepherd, you have a faithful shepherd as your pastor in your church, that you're never going to have a storm in the church, you're never going to have any problem, there's never going to be anything inappropriate or wrong that occurs, no disease or no drought? No, it doesn't mean that. Storms come. Cares multiply. Troubles happen. But when they do, and God has given you a true shepherd, he will know what to do to lead you through. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, shepherds him and shepherds you, and he will lead you in the way that you should go. And the last thing we see happening to this flock is that shepherds multiply their sheep. When you have a good shepherd, and when the great shepherd is the one who is in charge of your life, then the flock grows. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And under the care of David, we saw the flock that God gave him grow from a few to thousands upon thousands. And to this very day, people still recall David, the shepherd of Israel, and then look to Jesus, who came to shepherd us. Being a godly shepherd doesn't require a lot of brains, thankfully, or looks of any kind, or any special talents. In fact, ordinary people like you and me can be shepherds, shepherds of a few, shepherds of more. Why? Because the plan is simple, it's effective, it's doable, and the Lord Jesus trains us for the task. Whether you're a teacher or a group leader in a small group or a Bible class, there's someone there to help you. The important thing is that we stop seeing sheep from a worldly view, people from a worldly view. The world uses people. Shepherds love people. The world competes for people. Shepherds build people. The world controls people. Shepherds serve people. The world promotes people. Shepherds work together as a team. I want to just say one last thing about this whole matter of a shepherd, though. No one can be a shepherd until he's been a sheep. We can never be group leaders, teachers, and shepherds of one sort or another until we have been sheep ourselves. Until we've walked under the care of the great shepherd, And the question that we need to be asking ourselves this morning is, am I the Lord's sheep? Am I the Lord's lamb? Is my life surrendered to Him? Do I trust in Him, depend on Him? Is He the one who is the great shepherd of my soul? If not, why not? You cannot survive without Him. I cannot. We certainly cannot serve or minister to others without the great shepherd. And I would challenge you, urge you, invite you to be sure that Jesus Christ is the shepherd of your soul before we leave this place today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for showing us how to live our lives with meaning and purpose and joy. Thank you for giving to us your great salvation as the shepherd of our soul. Lord, I pray for these who are here today to listen and hear your word, that this is the day and the moment when we will decide forever that we will be your sheep, your lamb, and you will be our shepherd, not only for now, but for hereafter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together a final word of song and praise to the Lord, the great shepherd of our soul. And as we do this morning, I want to challenge you, invite you, that you would accept Jesus Christ to be your shepherd if He is, that you will follow Him wherever He leads you and allow Him to nurture your life and lead you into that full and meaningful life that He has in store for you. Let's stand together as we sing. You come and just take a moment and say, I'm here today to follow Jesus, to let Him be my shepherd, my Savior, my Lord. Lead me.